we've been talking about salvation and who Jesus Christ really is, what he's done for us. What is the fruit of his work, and how does it relate to God's image of you?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how he can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of his name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking over the past several sessions about who Jesus Christ really is, what the Bible reveals about him, and how he worked salvation in the life of all men, particularly those who receive him by faith, that is trust, which is a decision, and how his blood atonement takes away the sin of all, once for all men, once for all time, once for all sin, in those who receive him, being willing to repent or turn from their sin. Father God always required a blood atonement for sin. In the Old Testament, before Christ came, the blood of animals were used, and the sacrifice of animals made at the Mosaic Tabernacle, following which the Levite priests would take the blood into the Holy of Holies of the Tabernacle and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and it would take away their sins or remit their sins, set them aside, that is, for 1 year. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the Hebrews would have to go back, and the same ritual would be done over and over and over again. We said in our previous broadcast that Christ must have said to the Father, if I go down there and I become the perfect lamb sacrifice, paying for the sins of all men, taking those sins upon myself as the living Son of God, the Son of the Father, will you accept that once and for all sin, once and for all time, once and for all men? And Father God must have said yes, because he permitted him to do exactly that. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and verse 14 tell us that Christ sacrificed himself once for all. That work of the cross was done through blood atonement. And the word atonement can be broken up into three syllables, at one ment. It is through the blood atonement, Christ atoning for our sins, paying the price for our sins by taking them upon himself, so that we could have righteousness credited to our account in the heavens. That atonement created at one ment with Father God. Now, today, I want you to understand what the fruit of all of this is. How God, how the Lord Christ Jesus, Son of the living God, a manifestation of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, how Christ works this work in you and me, those of us who are willing and ready to accept him into our hearts by faith, by trust, how he works in us the fruit of what his sacrifice of the cross was, and changes us into what God wants us to be. Did you know that the scripture actually tells us that God has an image of us that is different than the way we think about ourselves? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is God's image of me? And what does the Bible really have to say about it? The Bible is a divine revelation. Once you receive Christ into your heart by trusting on him, that once you invite him in, Scripture says Jesus Christ is faithful. He also promises in the Gospel of John, I will manifest myself to him, that is to the believer. That once you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, he begins a new work in you to make you into his image and likeness, to make you into what it is that God wants you to be. You see, God has a plan for your life, and God's plan for your life is greater than any plan that you could have for yourself. In Jeremiah 29:11, we read, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, God loves you unconditionally, not based on your performance. Man may put you under performance, but God will never put you under performance. God treats his creation as sons and daughters. No matter how sinful you may be, you need to know that God looks beyond your sin to see your need. God accepts you right where you are. He meets you right where you are. He loves you right where you're at, and by your inviting him into your heart, he will change you, change your life, change your circumstances, and deliver you from sin and self. No one else can do it except the Lord Christ Jesus. Why is that? Well, if you look at all of the historical pseudo-saviors of history, they're all in their graves. But if you go to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem and look at the grave of Jesus, you will discover that he is not in his grave. Why? Because he resurrected from the dead. Yes, that's right. He resurrected from the dead. One of the most historically accurate, well-documented events of all history. Did you know that when Christ was crucified and put in the Garden Tomb, that tomb was sealed at the request of the Jewish high priest, and the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, issued an order for a cohort of Roman soldiers to guard the tomb, and there were also Hebrew soldiers ordered there by the high priest, and they all stood around that tomb for 3 or 4 days. You know, the Jewish priests didn't want Christ to be missing from that tomb because they knew that if he ever was missing, that the people would say he resurrected. So the Jewish priests didn't want the tomb disturbed. The apostles didn't want the tomb disturbed because they knew that if Christ was missing from the tomb, that they might be accused of stealing the body. The Roman soldiers didn't want the tomb disturbed, because they realized that if it was, then the people would say, well, Christ really resurrected and the Romans put him to death unjustly, and it would have caused riots against Rome. So of these three factions, none of them wanted the body to be missing. And so they put a 3-ton stone at the opening of the tomb, which could not be moved by man, to seal the body in so that none of them could be accused and their selfish interests could be maintained. But you know what happened on the Feast of First Fruits, 3 days after the crucifixion? Of course you do. History has recorded it over and over and over again. On that morning, the stone was rolled aside. When Mary went to the tomb, she was met by an angel who said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Christ had resurrected. The burial clothes were lying where the body was resting, undisturbed. The wrappings were undisturbed. He passed through the wrappings. And then, as you know, one of the most historically accurate documentations of that time, he revealed himself to Mary, he revealed himself to the 12 apostles, and he revealed himself to over 500 people on a hillside. And he did this not in 1 day or 2 days, but over 40 days, so that there would be no question that people were seeing him over and over again. The apostles wrote afterwards, "These things we have seen with our own eyes." And what was it? It was a demonstration of resurrection power, age-enduring life, which you can have by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Once you do that, the Scripture says, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 we read, "So that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things did pass away, lo, become new, have all things." In other words, God changes your life. He writes the script of your life in a new way, to love you and prosper you and to bring you home to Him, that you may know the Father, God, the Creator of the universe, and that you may dwell with Him forever. Because of that sacrifice of the cross, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "Who did know the mind of the Lord, that he shall instruct him?" And we have the mind of Christ. In other words, Christ begins living his life in us and through us. We start thinking differently because of this work of the cross, because we receive him by faith, by trust, through his grace, his love and favor toward us. Scripture goes on to tell us that once we receive Christ in our hearts, and once we trust on him, that we walk in him, that we are complete in him, that he meets all of our needs. Listen to these words from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. It starts, "As then you did receive Christ Jesus the Lord, in him walk you, being rooted and built up in him, and confirmed in the faith, as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. See that no one shall be carrying you away as spoil through the philosophy and vain deceit, according to the deliverances of men, according to the rudiments of the world, and not according to Christ. Because in him does dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are in him made full, who is the head of all principality and authority." You see, you are made full in Christ Jesus. God does a work of completion in you. Well, you may say, "Well, boy, I don't feel full. I don't feel perfect." It's a process. God works sin out of every believer to make every believer into his image and likeness. It's just a question of time. It's just a question of trust. It's just a question of leaning on Jesus. We can't do it under our own power. We can't avoid sin under our own power. We need the Lord Christ Jesus to live his life in us and through us. That's why it says you are a new creation. We have the mind of Christ. We are complete in him. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, we see God's attitude or image of us, what he feels about us once we receive him. His blood washes away all of our sin. See, you may be sin conscious, but God wants you Jesus conscious. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, and of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us from God wisdom, righteousness also, sanctification, and redemption. In us he became these things. So the scripture says that because Christ is in us once we receive him, Father God looks and says, you are wise, you are redeemed, you are righteous, and you are holy. It's repeated in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, according as he did choose us in him before the foundation of the world, for our being holy and unblemished before him in love. How about that? In other words, you are holy and blameless in God's eyes when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. His righteousness is credited to your account in heaven. Now that's a doctrine which is called justification. In other words, we are justified by the blood sacrifice of Christ who pays for our sins so that it's just as if I'd not sinned. In 1 Peter 1:16 we read, because it has been written, become you holy, because I am holy. Now, what does that mean? It means you're sanctified or made holy because Jesus is holy. Jesus is in you, and he imputes his righteousness to you. He credits it to your account in heaven. And that's the importance of having a Savior. Every sinner needs a Savior. Now, there's more to it than that. In Romans 8:17, we read that we are children of God, and it continues, and if children, also heirs, heirs indeed of God, and heirs together of Christ, if indeed we suffer together, that we may also be glorified together. Did you know that if you receive Jesus Christ into your heart by trust, being willing to turn from your sin, by inviting him in, he reveals himself to you as a living person? Can anyone else from history do that? Can Ramakrishna do that? No. Can any of the Catholic saints do that? No. Can any of the previous popes do that? No. Can Buddha do that? No. Can Confucius do that? No. Can Muhammad do that? No. Can the present pope do that? No. Can I do that? No. No one can do that except the Lord Christ Jesus. And so, because he still lives, and because the kingdom is his, and because we are heirs of that kingdom, according to Scripture, according to divine revelation, it says in the Gospel of John, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So you have an inheritance in Christ. You receive the kingdom of God. It's even reiterated in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, because your Father did delight to give you the reign. That means the kingdom. Did you know that once you receive Jesus Christ, you have a position in Christ? You have a confession in Christ. I am a new creation. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, some of you go around who are Christians, you've received Jesus Christ, and you call yourselves sinners all the time. That's a negative confession. God wants you to identify with his righteousness, his holiness, imputed to you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. You have a position in Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 tells us. And you are a choice race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired, that the excellences you may show forth of him who out of darkness did call you to his wondrous light. Did you hear that? It says you are a king and a priest, a chosen people, a holy nation. God imputes that to you and to me. You see, what is the message? Christ does it all. We are too imperfect. We are too weak. All we have to do is have a heart of repentance, trust on the Lord to work his holiness and righteousness in us and through us. Man cannot do it by self-effort. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, transformation has to come from the inside outward. Religion is trying to be transformed from the outside inward. Doesn't work. Never did, never will. Waste of time. It's man leading man. Why in the world would you put yourself in bondage to man when you can be a bondservant of God and his glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? In Romans 8, verse 29 and 30, we read, Whom he, that is Christ, did foreknow, he also did foreappoint, conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And in verse 30, we read, And whom he did foreappoint, these also he did call. And whom he did call, these also he declared righteous. And whom he declared righteous, these also he did glorify. Wow. The work is all done by Christ. You are declared righteous by Christ because he has paid for your sins once you receive him. It's impossible for man to clean himself up and go to God. That's transformation from the outside in. God has to be in your heart and transform you from the inside outward. That's what the Bible says. And when he does, you will become a different person and others will see it. If you try to do it your way, man's way, from the outside in, I promise you, my friend, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, you will be the same person that you are today because there's no transformation, no perfecting of the spirit or the soul that way. No, it says in Romans 8, 29 and 30 that we just read, you are foreknown by him, predestined by him, called by him, that is Christ, justified by him, and glorified by him. In other words, it is a sovereign work of God to transform you. Oh, yes. And did you know, in Revelations 3, verse 21, it says, He who is overcoming, I will give to him to sit with me in my throne, as I also did overcome and did sit down with my Father in his throne. Did you hear that? I mean, that's amazing. Christ, the King of the universe, says that you, the believer, who trust on him, are destined for the throne. You're destined to sit on the throne of Christ with him. Yes, that's what it says. In 1 John 5:13, we read, These things I did write to you who are believing in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that life you have, age enduring, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you do not, should you not? Why not? Today is as good a day as ever. Jesus Christ is a living person, a spirit person, but nonetheless a living person, Son of the living God, who is willing and able to manifest himself to you, to fellowship with you, to have a relationship with you, to bless you, and to love you. And he is willing and able to do it for the asking. There's no circumstance so severe that he cannot get you out of it. No pit so deep that he cannot reach down and lift you out. You may say, oh, I'm too far gone. No one can help me. That's a lie of the devil. Nothing is too hard for the Lord Christ Jesus. He's waiting. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Please invite him in today, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin, pray this prayer aloud with me now. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same. He will make a way for you. Pray this prayer aloud.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.